are going to receive a church planting offering. Half of it will be going to Grace Assembly and the renovations, the purchase and renovations of their building just down the street, right in a beautiful area of apartments, heavy residential area that so needs a witness right there. The other half is going to be going to a church being planted in Indianapolis this summer in conjunction with the general council meetings of the Assemblies of God, people all over the nation converging in Indianapolis this August. The Assemblies of God wants to plant a church as a part of our presence there this summer, and they have asked Jaron LePasserin if he would come and coordinate the planning of this church. Jaron is a friend of mine from Southern California. I've had him preach in my church in California. Also met him up in Vancouver. We had nearly 150 Filipinos in our church in Vancouver. Jaron and his wife Rose are from the Philippines. They planted over 40 churches in the Philippines before coming to the States. Now he's been planting churches here in the States, especially among Filipino communities. Jaron pastors a Filipino ministry in the greater Los Angeles area. He's also the president of the Filipino-American Fellowship for the Assemblies of God, and an incredible church planner. I could think of nobody better as a church planner to come and speak to us about planting churches. And when we take an offering at the end of this service, we'd like the other half of our offering to go to this church plant that Jaron's overseeing in Indianapolis. I'd like you to welcome Pastor Jaron as he comes and shares God's word.
Thank you, Pastor.
When we talk about church planting, the seed must come from somewhere. And I felt like this morning, as I come to this wonderful Central Assembly of God Church, this turned just like into a greenhouse, a nursery, and that many years ago, many missionaries and pastors have been processed through this wonderful assembly and has reached the shores of my country. And so, Pastor, let me take this time. If you had ministered in the Philippines, if you have gone for a mission trip in the Philippines, if you have done something and went yourself to the Philippines one way or the other, or as a missionary, or as an Amers, or as an evangelist, would you please stand? If you have been to the Philippines in ministry, in teaching, look at this. Thank you. Please remain standing. Please remain standing. Please remain standing. We embody the gospel seeds in lives and ministries like this that has influenced my life. That today the multiplication of that seed has come around right here in America to plant churches, and we give glory and honor to the Lord. One more time, please, for the greater glory and honor of His name. Thank you. Thank you. I did not want to come to America. We had a wonderful church at the roller skating rink of a shopping mall where Muhammad Ali built. When he won Trilla in Manila, that was the first shopping mall. We rented the ballroom in like 8 months' time. We filled 800 people with that place. Then we moved to the roller skating rink. We have 1,700 in Sunday morning, another 1,000 in the afternoon. And our young people would come Saturday night to put 1,000 chairs in the rink. And put the stage together, tear that again by 3 o'clock, because at 4, the roller skating rink is going to function. But little did I know that that church that we started there would become the DNA and the passion of my heart to start planting churches in key cities, not only in the Philippines, but around the world. At the late 80s, we started planting churches in Japan, in Korea, in Indonesia, and in different other parts of the European region as well, in Spain. And we begin to realize that, why not America? But God, I said, you got to convince me. Because there's a lot of my teachers, my mentors are all there. The churches are all there. But what can I do? Well, the Lord has to convince me. I was invited to be a speaker too as well, Pastor, just like a mission convention in New Jersey District. But after that convention, our youth pastor, who was in Brooklyn, New York, arranged a home Bible study group. We were in Staten Island, and for 10 nights, he has arranged 10 different homes in the different parts of Staten. We moved from house to house, you know, just like as you see in the book of Acts. But we begin to minister to 5-10 people, but at the 10th night of the meeting, 80 people showed up. And after that, 80 people showed up and said, where are we going to go to church? And then I had a little problem. To make the long story short, we have first Sunday service. A church was born after 10 days with 80 people. And the Lord speaking to me and say, I broke your record, Jaron. If you do it 3 months' time to plant a church, I can do it in 10 days if you would obey me. And the Spirit of the Lord was saying, if you will come to America, I will give you a portion of the harvest in this land. And I said, God, I would be willing. It was not easy to leave the country and the Philippines to move here. But in obedience to God, I said, God, give me a strategy. God, give me a vision for America on how the churches can be planted. And so when every time I look into the book of Acts, I see a series of things that were happening in how the churches were being planted, and homes, houses, has been strategic point of contact, entry point to build churches in the cities and in the communities. I look at the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit poured out in the upper room. They broke bread in chapter 2 in the homes. In chapter 4, a place of meeting where they were praying was shaken. House to house in chapter 5, they teach proclaiming the good news. In chapter 6, in the same way, the house men from the household were chosen to be leaders of the first church there. And in chapter 8, house to house, of persecution had begun to happen. And Paul healed, filled with the Holy Spirit, and called in one and one encounter with God in a home where later on he was called to be a missionary. Peter and Cornelius in a house meeting in chapter 10, verse 25. Church was born in Antioch in a house church meeting as well, verse 26. Chapter 12, the church earnestly praying for Peter in the house of Mary, and Peter was delivered. On and on, every chapter, and just looking to see that God gives you a strategy. So when we started a church as well in Los Angeles, I said, God, give me homes. Well, at first, the members were living in apartments, but apartments were so limited. We prayed that every member will own a house, and you would not believe it. They started owning homes, and so when they started having homes, we started having a map out and blanket the whole Los Angeles area with different other key homes in the region, so much so that we released some of those homes later on, and even ministries in the downtown area to become another church plant. And we could see that God is raising up a strategic entry point for the city. But you ask me, why Indianapolis? Well, this preacher this morning has been challenged with the wonderful movement of the Assemblies of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. I felt that I received that mandate when Decade of Harvest was declared many years ago. That happened in Indianapolis. When there was a celebration 2000 and World Assemblies of God gathered, and all the district general superintendents of the Assemblies of God in different parts of the world met again in Indianapolis in year 2000. I said, God, that city is so strategic. And once a year or many times a year, the eyes of the world turns into that city for raising. People were just from different walks of life. There is something that a city attracts the rest of the world to its doors. And I believe we have a portion in that city. I begin to discover that Indianapolis as a city, Filipino language is spoken as the sixth largest language spoken in the whole state of Indiana. Then later on, I begin to see and study where the migration were coming from. And the migration were coming from the city, from Dallas and from Chicago. In short span of time, in talking to different churches in Chicago, I had four pastors. Two are Assembly of God and two are independent, but they are friends of mine. And they said, Pastor Jaron, we're going to help you. We're going to drive once a month, each of us taking turn to take care of the house and home groups that you will have. And said, we will pledge to support as well workers that will be going there. And so what we need a house. We need a place to be an entry point into the community that when teams from different states would come to help us start the church, they don't have to stay in a hotel. They can be at home everywhere. And we have to this date 74 Filipino Assembly of God churches here in America that wanted to start planting churches. Pray with me. San Antonio is ready. Dallas for the second church plant. Our third church plant in New York City is also beginning to be ready. This Sunday, two Filipino churches, one in Alhambra and one in Beaverton, Oregon, is having their first worship Sunday today, Pastor. This same day, two Filipino congregation, Assembly of God, is added to our movement. Say amen to the Lord. Planting works, but it has to start from a seed. Look at your bulletin again. Look at the list of how many hundreds of seeds that Central Assembly has been planting in the different parts of the world. And many of you young people, look at me, will be a part of this list. Because God has placed upon you the Word of God. You think you were just memorizing for the Bible quiz? No. You are being prepared. The seed is being planted. I believe that the church here in Central Assembly has been positioned strategically by God, prepared. Right here, here's the greenhouse. Right here is the place where God begins to pour out visions and dreams. And somehow when I was looking, I was here a few months ago, Pastor, we don't have this type of screen. Somehow it just became so panoramic. Before you were looking to a little window, now your vision for the rest of the world has become panoramic. I believe we're seeing it to a different eye this time by the power of the Holy Spirit. Something new is taking place, and we want to be right there. The seed has been prepared. And I believe that our young people who participated in that fine arts is part of the many preparation. But week to week, when you come to your gatherings, whatever happens here in the church is a part of preparation of the seed. And I believe some of those that are hearing this message and in this missions convention, you will find yourself in another place, in another city, in another country one of these days because of the preparation. When I begin to look at the book of Acts and see the wonderful move of the Spirit of God, I begin to realize as I keep on steady in understanding that God has given us a vision planting 2020. In the sense of Acts chapter 20, verse 20, it says this: "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house." We are not ashamed to teach the gospel seed and plant the gospel seed in places, in entry points, in house to house, which would receive us. Last night, we have wonderful 39 people right here, Pastor, in a home gathering for Filipino American Fellowship right in Springfield. Pastor Jim consented that on August, right after General Council, many of our Filipino pastors would come here to make a big Filipino rally, and we're going to call every Filipino person here in the city of Springfield, right here in this city. And so, I mean, right now, I'm thinking Indianapolis, Pastor, but behind me, I'm thinking of Springfield too. Hallelujah. But we are delighted that God is moving everywhere. The seed, God, when he puts the seed in the heart of a person and the Word of God, he puts his life, his spirit, and his image into it. When God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, it contained life, spirit, and image. So that in the same way, you're not just memorizing scriptures for the Bible quiz, but you are speaking the breath of God that would give somebody life. You prayed about raising people from the dead. That's exactly what the scripture does. And so I believe that when God prepares us as a church and as a body, he prepares that life. He fashions your lifestyle to prepare you to become that wonderful seeds packaged by God for that wonderful environment where he plants you. My environment and my setting for church planting back in the Philippines is being in the shopping mall, as I shared. But I believe in God breaking some even of those patterns. And I begin to see that the wonderful, we did not have churches. One of our Filipino church is in a shopping mall in Reno, Nevada. Most of our churches start in the forefront, but many of our church plant now starting in homes and in schools. And I believe that God passions us and prepares us to be that seed that would be planted. Not only that the seed has been prepared, I believe that the season has been prepared and the season is ripe. Not just for Indianapolis. Pastor, thank you for supporting the new church plant right in the downtown. Many people has moved away from the downtown and inner cities of America. The same thing is happening as in Los Angeles. One of our members of the church, I said, Pastor, we want to start a church in downtown. I said, I bought already my loft. I will be in the fourth floor of this apartment, right in Spring and Fifth Avenue. We're going to have a church right in downtown LA. They are regaining back the inner cities of America. Folks, the season is ripe. If some has retreated to the bedroom communities, now the cycle is coming back and we are regaining the cities of America. The season is ripe. And maybe young people, this is for your season. This is for your time. You know how to relate to those people in the streets. They might not relate to a guy who comes with a suit and a tie, right? But they can relate always to the gospel and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sower as well has been prepared. Our pastors here will be taking turn. We're praying that God is going to send. And one of our pastors in New Jersey called me last week and said, Pastor, I'm praying for Indianapolis. Another call from Chicago from one of our pastors said, Pastor, I'm praying for Indianapolis. Boy, I said, Lord, are we talking about one church or two churches? These are two pastors, you know, and very powerful leaders. And so I believe God has a sower for every church plant that he wants to birth. I believe there are some sowers here in this congregation this morning that will become pastors, evangelists, and teachers and bring the gospel of the Lord of Jesus Christ unashamed. I just felt that right in the middle of this message today, God is putting that passion in the heart of somebody who wants to plant. Maybe not really planting a church, but planting a relationship and friendship that would cause, that God would use to be able to bring the kingdom of God in the workplace, in the campus, or in your neighborhood. And I believe that through this missions convention that you are having, somebody is being prepared by God. And I believe that even at the end of this service, you're going to come to the Lord in prayer and just begin to say, God, is that me that you are talking about? That I would be planning this church, this wonderful work, this home Bible study, this group, this Bible club in my high school, in my college, or somewhere. We were fresh when we were coming here to America. And my daughters went to a public school. But my daughter began to start praying for the locker in the high school. And at the end of the year before she graduated, she had about 60 of other high school mates that she had attending a Bible study and a meeting in the school. And some of those became are youth leaders in the church. And so I believe it's not just the church planting that we're talking about here, Pastor. We're talking about planting the kingdom of God in the hearts and lives of people wherever they are. I'm planting some churches right now and relationship in the marketplace in California. We started home groups and Bible studies as well in corporate America. Pastor, I was in Irvine with like about 300, 400 marketers, and they said, talk to us about balanced life. I spoke, I gave an altar call, and many of those business people who've never been to a church, but in a conference type, responded and came. and respond. I want to have my balanced life by finding my center in God. I didn't try to quote scriptures left and right, but they knew I was a pastor. But I talk about the principles of the Word of God. God is packaging His sowers in every place. And you are that sower this morning. He has prepared the soil. And when we begin to look at the soil, don't underestimate the power of the seed. Don't underestimate the power of the soil to feed and receive that seed. I believe that when we begin to obey God, there is something unique that is going to happen, not just in the spiritual realm, but in the natural. I believe that signs and wonders and miracles is still bound to happen when you step out in faith. We believe that God is going to use that in a very mighty way. Sometimes the soil is hard, but God would cause something, you know, to happen in order to break the hardness of the ground in order for God's kingdom to be planted. Sometimes the seed first has to die in the soil before in order many more seeds has to come, only so that ground will be broken and reproduce more seed. But today, the hearts of people are hungering. I don't know whenever that Discovery Channel thing is going to be shown sometime today. Another threat, but never the church of the Lord Jesus Christ be shaken. And I believe we shall continue to be able to preach the gospel and share, because the hungry hearts, the soil is ready. Lives are ready. People already has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ from every tribe, nation, and tongue. The soil is ready. The soil is calling. People from every nation, tribe, and tongue, ready to receive your seed. Question, are you ready to plant? Question, are you ready to go? Question, are you ready to be that seed to fall into that ground? Lastly, the harvest, the sheaves, is guaranteed. Oh, I like this. And I begin to marvel at how the Holy Spirit would bring the portions back. One seed to the hundreds. I went for a trip to Alaska to prepare a church plant there. I was wanting to, you know, I hear missionary stories. I want to share to an Eskimo. I really just want to have an encounter with a real American, you know? And later on, I said, okay, I took this flight from Seattle to Anchorage. I will be flying another plane to Kodiak, Alaska. How many of you know where Kodiak, Alaska is? That's almost close to Russia, you know, towards the top. 30% of the population of Kodiak Island is Filipino. Two of the main canneries are controlled. All of the union there are Filipino. All the lady taxi drivers in the island of Kodiak is Filipina. Why lady taxi driver? Because all of the men are on the fishing boat throughout the time. And so it's always safe to have that women taxi drivers. Okay. Anyway, we were there prepared to bring our worship team to be a part of the King Crab Festival. Oh, that would be another theme to talk about to the young people in the youth ministry of the church. But anyway, I was there dreaming how I would reach out to the Eskimo. And suddenly, on the trip, on the plane, somebody sat beside me. 6'2" guy, big husky fisherman, just got out from the boat and had a good time in Seattle and started talking to me. I was a little bit in trouble because he doesn't smell good. He has a different spirit. He was intoxicated. He was talking so loud. He was talking about the stewardess. And oh, I said, I don't want this. You know, I just put my paper like this and start ignoring him. But later on, he asked me the wrong question. The question was, what do you do for a living? I can't lie. So I told him, I'm a preacher. As soon as I said, I'm a preacher, I'm into the top of his voice. He introduced me to the whole airplane passenger. Oh, so you're a pastor. Oh, I almost melted right there in my seat. Don't cause any trouble, man. Just 9/11 has just taken place. I don't want any trouble. You know, they'll blame the pastor. You know, you push it under his throat again, you gospel preacher, you know. I said, okay, cool it, man. And, you know, later on I said, Spirit of God, put in my heart, preacher, you just had a pulpit on this plane. I said, if he was talking loud, I talk louder. So three rows or four rows in front and back would hear me. Later on, I led him to a sinner's prayer. After which I led him to a sinner's prayer and say, my mom told me that wherever I go, God is going to send somebody. You know, I was looking for a harvest totally different, but in an unusual way, right there on the plane, 35,000 feet up, I was having a harvest of the planting of the Lord. And what was taking place is that as soon as he prayed and my mom said, I will not go anywhere without God speaking to me again. They said, why? You go to church? You know, what are you, Eldon? I said, I'm a pastor's kid. I told him, I'm a pastor's kid too, Eldon. And he said, I began to be curious, pastor, and said, what church do you go to? Oh, I don't want this answer. He said, my dad is an Assembly of God pastor. Then I told him, my dad pastors an Assembly of God church too, and I myself is an Assembly of God pastor. God sent a special messenger to you right here in this plane. He started, for whatever reason, there was just a holy moment of the presence of God. As soon as he alighted the plane, he called his father on the phone, meet me, dad, in the airport. You got to meet this preacher and all of that later on, only to find out that when we have that meeting at Anchorage International Airport, he said, we're just talking with my wife, Pastor Jaron. We're about to throw in the towel and quit the ministry because of the shame, and we can't bear no more this type of a lifestyle of our son. But having seen and heard from you today that how he has responded to commit his life to the Lord, we're not retreating. We're not throwing in the towel. We'll put in our lives for the cause of the gospel. And we right there in the airport, we began to rejoice in the Lord for one soul. And heaven was rejoicing. The sheaves are ready to be harvested. It's not just about the thousands and the tens of thousands, but even that one single person alone waiting. If the nations of the world is crying out for the seed, the cities of America is crying as well for the gospel seed. Father, I pray that the Central Assembly had set its course and vision towards the harvest field. Seeds are being planted. And Lord God, lives are being to be called. And God, this church would want to make an investment. We pray and ask that you speak to our hearts today as we commit our lives together for the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jaron. Thank you, Jaron, for a powerful word. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and we are his. We take the seed of his word. We're his planters. We're planted by God to plant his seed and to make a difference. We would like in just a few moments for the ushers to come and receive. We'd like to give today to church planting. The offering we'll receive this morning will go half to the church planting.